sound that you hear like an echo in your head. There's a strange vibration rising out from the heart of America, America. Listen to the sound of the drum calling players to the game of the new world order. Don't be caught unaware when the heads start rolling. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Double Cross Radio. Tonight we're broadcasting live once again from the Jefferson Republic. And I'm Chuck Horton, and I'm Drew Lamb. My co-host is running a little late today. He said start without him. He'll be along shortly. But I'm joined tonight with our other co-host, Colby Olson, and a special guest from Jefferson Republic. Gary Lake is back with us. And, oh, just got a message. Drew is back here. I got to add him to this call. And so, anyway, we got the full crew here. Cool. So, we're all here. Gang's all here. Welcome, Drew. Well, maybe he's here. There he is.
Late today. Said start without him. He'll be along shortly.
Oh, he's ready to go now. Okay.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey Drew.
So, we have Gary on tonight because in less than a week, in fact it's going to be next Tuesday, Siskiyou County is voting on the ballot measure we've been talking about for about 3 months. And this is game time. And it's, Gary, why don't you just tell us where you are right now, and then I'll just ask some questions and maybe chime in with a few points that I think people need to remember.
Sure. Thank you. How y'all doing? I appreciate you guys having me on. Basically, yeah, we're just a few short days away from Siskiyou County citizens voting on the Measure C, which is on the, of course, the June 3rd ballot, and it's for the Jefferson Republic. And it is, in a nutshell, it's to give the people through a constitutional republic, a genuine form of republic, the opportunity for their vote and their voice to count. And so we're pretty excited. We're coming down into the home stretch, and that's where we're at, you know, just kind of out meeting and greeting and passing out flyers and getting Siskiyou County citizens educated and having town hall meetings. But you know, it's voting time.
It is. We were talking before the show started, and there's a lot of people that are kind of nervous about this because they're not exactly sure what it means to be Republic of Jefferson. And I want to assure all you people that it doesn't mean anything really special. It just means that you get to determine how you want to be governed. That's it.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's different forms of government we have. There's democratic, there's republic, there's territory, there's trusts, you know, there's different forms. And, but this is the only forum whereas the people can vote and their vote actually counts.
You guys aren't asking for permission. You're just telling if enough people vote for this, then it happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's in our Constitution, the original Constitution, the official one, and then the California Constitution. There are specific areas whereas the people are given the opportunity, if they don't feel that they're being justly represented, to take their own, you know, future into their own hands and be able to not only identify, but, you know, create opportunities, funding, and solutions for a better quality of life. And, you know, who else, especially in somewhere like Siskiyou County in rural America, where, you know, we're having these water issues and all of these taxation without representation. I mean, there's just a plethora of things going on. Yeah. And the bottom line is this, you know, we've got tribal members that their people have been here for thousands of years. We've got, post-European settlers been here for hundreds of years. And we've got people that are, you know, coming in, you know, as people moving here today. More of the people that are here have been here and know what needs to be done. And so, you know, that's what needs to happen. We need to get back to a form of government where people are actually have a say and have a control over their, you know, immediate communities. And I don't think that's happening right now.
Yeah. Now I got kind of a terse message for the people in the State of Jefferson movement. And I want to start off by saying I'm not against what you guys are standing for. I think that's a positive step two, but I don't think it's quite as good of a step as, or that's, is that a word? How do I say that? It's not good English, but it is not as, it's not going to advance your cause that you guys are after as far as this Republic of Jefferson vote will. And yeah, you can, and I think you're depending on the same people that are screwing you right and left in the state legislature suddenly all coming together and saying, yeah, these guys should be on their own. I just don't think that has a snowball's chance in hell of ever happening. So if you guys really want to be self-governing and have your vote count and be able to have a representative government where actually, you know, you know the people that are making the laws that affect your lives, this is probably your best chance. And so you can go out there and tell people that this is kind of a crazy idea and everything else, but it really isn't. This is the most rational direction you could possibly take. It's the best way to accomplish what you want to accomplish. And I really don't think that the Congress of the United States and the legislature of the state of California are going to give you a dime's worth of their time to you know, as you go there on your begging on your knees to be separated from them and form a new state. They're going to tell you, you know, to go pound sand.
Well, you know, and this is just my personal opinion, but, you know, being in tribal leadership and in the smack dab in the middle of these water scandals, I just don't see where duplicating what's already going on is going to really help any. The bottom line to me, I think, is I think that there are people at very high levels that are just placating the, you know, citizens of Northern California into thinking that they're going to get something better. But in reality, if you do a trickle down chart, it's the same people leading the same people. You know, the same handlers are involved. And I just think that basically it's an end around to create a water state, and, you know, do water deals so that they can, you know, basically depopulate Siskiyou County and the areas up here and socioeconomically destroy rural America, which they're trying to do, and take control. So you take away the water and you control the water, you know, that's the first step, you know. So that's my opinion. Don't mean to be a downer, but
no, I think you probably are more accurate in your view of what's going on than anything I've said so far. That's really the truth. And there's, for those of you who don't realize this, the Western United States is largely a desert. There are some areas where they get a lot of rainfall, like the Western Oregon, but not Southwestern Oregon. From about Roseburg, Oregon south, they really don't get very much rainfall. It's a very Mediterranean climate. And what precipitation they do get usually falls as snow in the winter in the mountains, enabling us to dam up streams and have reservoirs where we can draw on that water to grow crops. And right now, we haven't had a lot of precipitation the last couple winters, and all those reservoirs are drying up, and the farmers down in the San Fernando Valley and Southern California they're going broke because they can't grow anything. They don't have any water.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important that the people take back, you know, their rights and their liberties and the ability to protect, you know, their quality of life. And the only way to do that is through the original constitution. We're under corporate America right now. We're not under the original constitution. We're not under a constitutional America. And so, you know, the whole thing with regards to manipulation of water and food and GMOs, and there's a litany of things that we can talk about. But if the people are to band together and their voice is heard, I can assure you that if Siskiyou County were to vote yes, and, you know, and this Measure C were to pass, I can assure you, it's in I am absolutely confident that water issues and natural resource management issues, which would in turn help with, you know, fires and forest fires and so forth, but they would change. I mean, because right now nobody has the ability to say no, because we're under we're into corporate America. I mean, it's a trickle down from the top down, you know, so we're on bended knee 100% of the time, and it doesn't matter. They make their decisions. Whereas the people, you know, if they have the ability to make their choices, they're gonna say, no, we're not gonna ship the water down to LA or Sacramento so the rice farmers down there in Central Valley can pump it through the peripheral canals. And, you know, it's just a big water scam. But that's my tribal experience and my being part of that original scam to begin with. I voted no, of course. I've said that many times. And so, but this is, you know, this is for about freedom. This is freedom of choice, freedom of for your vote to count, and for quality of life. And that's what the Jefferson Republic is about. It's not about separating from the United States. We're proud, you know, we're proud to be part of this great country. We're just want to be a republic form of government as opposed to a democratic, you know, where it's mob rule.
Yeah, and I'll point out to people that this very mountainous region where we are, Southern Oregon, Northern California, and Siskiyou County, even more so than Jackson County, where we are, and a lot of these canyons that have streams running down through them can be dammed and produce a tremendous amount of hydroelectric power. That's renewable power with no carbon footprint. It's about the cleanest energy you can produce at a very low cost. And so as they're getting ready to sell some of that water downstream, they can generate some electricity out of it first. There's a lot of stuff here.
Well, resources. Yeah, the thing about that, we've got four perfectly good dams on the Klamath River, whereas the current leadership, the current governmental system, is trying to take them down. So, before we can in Siskiyou County, before we can start building more dams or managing, you know, in better ways our natural resources, we have to have control of what is rightfully the citizens, but we don't have access. So right now, you know, Measure C would be very valuable in keeping the dams from coming out. Because, you know, the whole coho salmon scam is what's fueling that. And it's affecting water in Southern Oregon. It affects, you know, water everywhere. So Measure C, I guarantee Measure C passes, and the people are going to, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to say, hey, step off of our dams. It's Shasta, you know, it's Shasta territory, and it's this Jefferson Republic, which is Siskiyou County citizens, and this is wrong, you know. So, you know, if you're looking at keeping, you know, your quality of life and not just basically giving it over to, I would call, you know, NGOs that have no business being in this area and their only interest is to basically pillage our resources. You know, I mean, if you're okay with that, then vote no against, you know, Measure C. But if you want freedom of choice and you want quality of life and liberties and protect the Constitution, you need to vote yes. And it comes right down to that, you know, all the economics and all the, you know, everything that goes with that. You know what? The people are smart enough here to use what's already, you know, been proven over the last 200 and some years, and then get rid of the stuff that's just ridiculous, the stuff that doesn't even affect us. It's from down south, and yeah. You know, that's where it's at. Yes is freedom, and no is slavery.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are kind of freaked out by some of the more radical people like me who say, this is a perfect chance for you guys to be like Hong Kong. And then, well, it is and it isn't. I mean, it's whatever you guys want to do. I don't live there. It's your choice. And you guys are going to be able to vote on how you want to be organized and what you want to do. My hope is that you opt for plans that are going to maximize your chances to be successful economically, which include almost no taxation, if any. But some people wouldn't agree with that. They think that you need to have state control stuff, and that's going to be their decision. And it's going to really amount to their future. But the key is they're going to get to make those decisions. It's not, right now, somebody else is making those decisions for them.
Absolutely.
And this is what's really important. So it's not just freedom and slavery, it's freedom and death, because there's no way to live in Siskiyou County if things keep going like they're going. I mean, you've lost something like 78% of your economy in the last 20 years.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And it's all because of, you know, it's planned.
This wasn't a real prosperous place before. Right now, they're existing on kind of a circulation of food stamp money and stuff. There's really not much going on there.
Yeah, it's pretty bleak right now, you know, and it's not going to get better under the current leadership. You know, it's not.
I think they're trying to drive everybody out of Siskiyou County. It's what it looks like.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. But you know, it's, I mean,
they're like not doing it intentionally. It's a, you know, it's the effect of what all their rules and regulations and laws amount to. So.
Yeah, it's pretty stifling. But you know, we're pretty excited, and let's just say, for sake of conversation, you know, it does pass or it doesn't pass. The bottom line is that there is an opportunity for people to see a different way, and this is all. And you know, this is nonviolent. You know, this is not a, this is a nonviolent, 100% legal, you know, true blue, patriotic, constitutionally correct, you know, process. And why people wouldn't want to be in control of their own destiny eludes me. And I hope that people are awake enough to make those right decisions, you know, and they're going to make it one way or the other. And we know that. And then one thing about it is, when it does pass, if it does pass, and we hope it does, then it's going to get really interesting, because then they're going to, you know, have an opportunity to make changes, and it'll be interesting to see the community come together. And they'll, you know, it'll be like the old, you know, right in the very beginning when they were creating the Constitution, a bunch of people are going to get together. I can see Drew and you and some other folks, you know, and sitting around and discussing, you know, the future. And that'd be pretty exciting times, you know, how to clean it up.
If you guys organize correctly, this could be one of the things that helps to save America, because America is going to go through some rough times here shortly. I don't think it's going to be a permanent situation. I think that they get good leadership and they start to abandon a lot of their bad economic policies, that things will come back pretty quickly, because Americans tend to be kind of resourceful people. I mean, my co-host here, Colby, just amazes me with all the things he does with that. As a gunsmith and as an auto mechanic, and he's a very inventive, innovative person, and Drew and his aquaponics is just incredible. It's another amazing thing. And there's people like that all over this region that are just really good at figuring out how to make things work and how to do something a little bit better than someone else is doing it. And so I have no doubt that when things get bad, that, you know, the basic ingredients are there to rebuild a nice economy. It's just, you got to get the government out of our lives. We got to get rid of all these regulations that are killing us. And the only way, and because of the lack of population in Siskiyou County, the only way they really have to do that is to say, we want to be our own place.
Right.
We still want to be part of America, but we're going to make our own rules and regulations, and that's how we're going to live. And they do that, and they become prosperous, and they become a model for the rest of the country to follow.
Well, yeah, and that's just it, you know. And like you said, we want, you know, we're still part of this great country. I mean, we're using legal, a legal process that is provided.
Exactly.
And, you know, by the constant, or, you know, the founding fathers, I'm sure they said, hey, you know what, in 200 and X amount of years, Siskiyou County is going to, like, you know, set precedence and actually do what we, you know, we did to start this great nation. And, you know, and they gave us those tools to do it. So, you know, it's a real exciting time. We're all worn out, man. We've been at this thing for a long time, and we just hope that the people, you know, see fit to want to improve their quality of life and take back control of their own destiny. And it's an exciting time, and we all love our country. State of Jefferson people, Jefferson Republic people, you know, we're just wanting a better place, and times are getting tough, and they're going to get tougher, unless we conform as a community and, you know, take care of ourselves in specific geographical areas and not to be dependent on, handouts and this is, you know, down the, you know. So anyhow, we have the resources here. We have water. We have agriculture. We have timber. We have minerals. I mean, you know, we're just not able to properly manage those.
And, you know, there's already, I think there's two states and several universities around the United States that have gotten permission to grow hemp.
Yeah, that's whatever
hemp
the people
would
want.
Grow in this region, it grows like a weed. Well, you know, like the weed that we call it weed. It grows really well here. There's a great climate for it. Hemp is an awesome product. We posted a deal earlier today about a car that the body was made out of hemp. And it looked awesome, a little sports car. It's very lightweight, very strong, very inexpensive. If you know, it's like almost like fiberglass type thing. If you damage it, it's easy to replace. It's an amazing building material. You could use it to make lightweight, structurally sound housing.
Think about those geoboards they're making now for decks and stuff. They're actually full composite. I mean, if you could make those out of hemp in the same manner, they didn't have plastic in them, they were biodegradable, what would be the purpose? You can make everybody happy.
Last longer.
That's up to the people. Whatever
it
they
is,
want.
It is, and a lot of people think of hemp.
It
really isn't.
Measure C.
There's no reason for it to be illegal in this country other than the fact that DuPont, when they started making nylon ropes, they couldn't make them as cheaply and as good as the hemp ropes that were out there. So they used the drug scare to get hemp illegal to ban it, so they would eliminate their competition. So you can
think. Reefer madness was that big propaganda thing.
Yeah, it was. And it's just a bunch of BS. But anyway. But that's where the people of Siskiyou County decide that there's a lot of economic opportunity is the point. You know, it's not just all, you know, having a beautiful landscape to look at. There's trees you can log. There's, there's, electricity you can harvest. There's minerals to be gotten out of those Siskiyou Mountains. They're just full of all sorts of minerals, and some of them are very valuable, like gold.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you know what, here's what's really cool, Chuck, is you know, we do have the natural resources and the timber industry. You know, our forests need to be managed properly.
Yeah.
There needs to be fuel hazard reductions. Yeah. And there's, you know, we do have water. Water is a very, very, you know, low footprint source of energy. You know, we've got four perfectly good dams we're trying to take out. But I think that there's a greater opportunity for, like, there's some like medical, these guys from down in California and there's some really top, and I forgot the exact field, but they're surgeons and they're scientists and neurologists and stuff like that. If Measure C passes, they were publicly stating last night at one of our town hall meetings that they're gonna come up with a large group of doctors, and they want to set up, you know, really they want to set up the world medical mecca here. Then we've got we've got clean industry. We've got all like Drew and, you know, what he's doing with his with the microgreens and the larvae and that whole process.
And I
that
tell
is
you,
slow.
If you guys have the right business environment, I think Drew would move tomorrow.
Well, yeah, and that's
am I right, Drew?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I'd be there in a heartbeat.
You know, and this, here's the deal: this whole water thing is a scam. You know, it's a scam. The coho salmon were never indigenous to Klamath River. And that is something that, you know, you guys are paying. If you look at your Pacific Power bill, you're paying a surcharge every single bill. It might be $2, or if you, it depends on how much you, but that money goes into, they're not going to, I don't think they'll ever take the dams out. They're going to, well, they will if the people don't mind up and start getting, you know, active about it, because, but they never, you know, when I was a councilman for the Kodiak tribe, the agenda wasn't to take the dams out. The agenda was use the dams as a red herring to basically get the people distracted so that we, the Kodiak leadership, I always voted no, could then basically steal or buy on very cheap distressed businesses, properties, and water rights, and get NGOs to basically come in and infiltrate, like, you know, Craig Tucker, for instance, and infiltrate the community and then, you know, create a cancer that decays from within. And then all of our finances or, you know, our economy and our quality of life, it gets shipped out somewhere else, you know. That's what's happening. So that's a perfect example of, you know, like the natural resources or the timber. You know, why would they not do better forest management? And then when it burns, it burns. Well, it sounds like they're trying to, you know, freaking, you know, that's not a cuss word. I used an I. You know, they're trying to basically, you know, depopulate the area through man-made natural disasters. You know, I don't know. I don't get it, but
it's more like chaos theory.
Yeah, you know,
we did this up in Jackson County. We removed all the dams and look at where we're at right now. This year we have got a huge drought going into effect, but if you think about it, we had more rainfall before we had dams and standing water because of evaporation. If you want to be honest about it, evaporation with more standing water would equal more rainfall because it goes into the clouds and it drops itself back down, yada, yada, yada. Cycle continues. But we remove all this, and then pretty much they say, oh, panic, we have to remove the dams because of the fish. We have to remove the dams because of, we don't have the dams, now we have a drought. We have to do this.
There's a bigger problem with removing the dams. There's a lot of silt that's backed up behind those dams, and when they take those dams out, it washes downstream, and it's got a lot of metal halides or metal, there's just metal contaminants, I guess, or they're basically poisons. I'm going to ask somebody in chat here. I think we have, if he's in there, Keeper of the Republic, he knows what kinds of stuff I'm talking about. He can just type it in chat. What's the name of some of these? They're washing downstream in the Grants Pass's water supply.
Right. Well, there's 2 million 10-yard dump trucks of hazardous sediment would go down. 20 million cubic yards of sediment and debris are behind the four Klamath River dams. Okay? I mean, let's put that into perspective.
That's an environmental disaster.
It is.
That doesn't even count the fishing weights behind it either in lead.
No, I mean, well, you know, that's just like, you know, I think they call them, hexavalence and stuff like that. But anyhow, it's all those nitrates and phosphates, those, you know, and all the crud, is in sediment is, you know, toxic levels. Yeah. Think about blue algae, you know, gosh, that's
why it will kill so many fish that
forever, you know. But it's the sediment, and there's 20 million cubic yards that would be. So basically, you know, once again, measure C, I guarantee, you know, measure G was a couple of years ago, and basically what it was a non-binding, vote on how many people wanted dam removal. 80 to 82% of the people voted against dam removal in Siskiyou County, and yet it still goes forward. What's wrong with that picture?
Yeah, well, that's another reason why you guys need to vote to get rid of, because you aren't pushing the buttons. And no matter how loud you complain, they don't listen to you. And 83% of the people vote for one way and they do the opposite. That tells you
that's how much people are listening to us, our representation.
You cannot let this opportunity pass, because they're going to make it a lot harder to do this next time. They kind of slipped us in. They didn't think this was going to amount to anything, and now it's amounting to something. You guys have a chance to be free.
Yes.
Don't blow it.
Yep.
Okay.
Voting-wise in the future, Drew might not have to move, considering another possible hopeful we're going to have run against Rick Dyer. And I talked to him personally this week, and he is running. He's got three options for nomination. One's Constitutional Party, one's Independent Party, and one is non-affiliate. He needs about 1,000-plus signatures to get it. That'd be Chancellor.
Our good friend Kurt.
Yes. And that would be a Republican Jefferson vote right there, with Colleen being one as well, if they had to do it on that level. So,
Colby, I want to get the heck out of Jackson County as soon as I possibly can. As soon as I can find a better place to go, I'm out of here. There's way too many statists here. There's too many people that think that they own my property. They want to tax the heck out of me for things that I don't support. And I want to go someplace where there's like-minded people, where I have a voice, and I don't think it's here. Especially after this last election, I'm pretty certain it's not here in Jackson County.
Well, I, you know what?
Have hey, trouble you know, it's disagreeing with you, Drew.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying that I think Drew is right on the money with that statement. It's there's a lot of people here, and it's not just the people here are dumb as rocks. There's a lot of people here who are older. We have about 35% of our population are retired people. They're living on fixed incomes. They grew up in a different time, and they're just kind of set in their ways. And they have this mindset, and you can't budge them from that mindset. They think I went through this, is how I did it. This is how you're going to do it. And that's how it doesn't matter that it's wrong. That's how it is. And so it's Jackson County. It's kind of keeping us alive. All that Social Security and pension money that flows in here in the third of every month. But, it really isn't a good place to be free either. And I think Drew's exactly right. I've been scouting out some places. On the second half of the show here, we were going to talk about my trip to Ecuador and what it's like there. I don't know, Gary, you're welcome to stay here and we can keep talking. We might be able to relate some of the things I say back to this election too.
With that, I'll hang on. Hey, before we switch off or, go to the next segment, real quickly, I just wanted to assure people that are out there listening or that have friends in Siskiyou County that, Measure C, a yes vote on Measure C, nothing changes. Your welfare doesn't change, your pensions don't change, the law enforcement doesn't change. In fact, we want everybody that's, qualified and in those positions. We just want to be able to restructure, so that there's not so much waste, there's not so much tyranny, so everybody thinks that, overnight that it's going to change. It's not. It's going to change only when we find solutions, funding, and then the people make a decision by voting on it, and then things will change, piece by piece. So, that's
something. Put it this way. The things that are going to change are the things that you're voting to do that nobody lets you do. You'll finally be able to do what you vote for.
Exactly. Unless the people vote on it, find a solution, fund it, and then vote on it, nothing changes.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. And there's these misinformation and scare tactics out there, like the world's going to come to the end on June 4th. Well, it's not. It may take a year. It may take a year and a half for it to successfully go through a transition. It's all up to how quickly the people want to unite, communicate, educate each other, and then create solutions and vote.
I imagine it's going to be some loud and raucous town hall meetings during that year.
Well, there's nothing wrong with a little debate.
I think it's going to, if you have that, a lot of ideas being exchanged and people being made to think about stuff, and you might be surprised at how you might end up with some really outstanding creative solutions to problems you've been dealing with for years, but you've always relied on the government to provide a solution. And now when you guys are on your own, this is where you live. You know what's going to work. Things are going to be much better. I know that we don't have everybody in Siskiyou County listening to us, but if you are in Siskiyou County and you're listening, this is going to have a podcast, and it's going to be on a YouTube channel. And email your friends and get them to listen to this, and it's not too late to try and get 100% of people to vote yes on this. I mean, we really want to send a message. I'd be happy with 51%. I'm sure you would too, Gary.
Oh, I'll take a win. A W is a W, man.
This is really something that's going to benefit everybody in Siskiyou County. It's going to benefit everybody in the surrounding counties. This is a win-win-win-win. The only people that are going to lose are the government bureaucrats that, try to micromanage our lives. They won't they'll have to go somewhere else and do that.
Well, listen, guys, I know that you need to switch gears here, but I just want to say on behalf of the Jefferson Action Committee and the Jefferson Republic and all the people that have worked so hard out there, I just want to, give you guys a huge shout out. You guys really, Jordan Page adores you guys. I mean, you guys really stepped up to the plate. You're over the border officially. And you know what? That's still a wonderful, wonderful thing. You guys have just done a fantastic job of supporting us, and you guys all being state of Jefferson, guys. You guys saw a better and evolved process, and we just appreciate that. We appreciate your input. We appreciate your support, and I just can't thank you enough, not only for myself, but Anthony and Tiso and everybody else in the Jefferson Action Committee. We thank those people from Jackson County and abroad.
Well, you're welcome, and we are going to switch gears because I've been just on the edge of my seat for 2 weeks waiting to talk. Actually, the first week I fell asleep, slept through the show. So I wasn't on the edge of my seat. I was on the edge of the bed. but I want to tell you people what an awesome place Ecuador is. I'm going to start off by telling you a couple facts here. They're just, once I was there, it wasn't hard to believe, but the number one destination for American expats who are relocating to a different country, the retiring American expats, the number one destination for the last 3 years running has been Ecuador. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to go there. I want to see what is pulling all these people there. It must be an awesome quality of life. Well, I'll talk more about that in a little bit. Another just really compelling informational statistic here for you to think about. In 1999, they went through a derivative default problem similar to our housing bubble collapse, and their economy just collapsed. And with it, they kind of tossed out. Before that time, they were pretty much full commie. I mean, officially they were called a socialist country, but socialism, communism is about a dime's worth of difference. So they were all the way there. I mean, it was a welfare state, and it wasn't very prosperous to begin with. But that just almost destroyed that country completely, and it allowed some free market political people to be elected, and they started to reform their economy. And so it has really rapidly improved its economy in the 15 years since that happened. And so their economy has been getting better and better and freer and freer. Now they're still not, in my opinion, quite where they should be in order to be what I consider even better than the United States, which I think is going in the wrong direction. Even if they make no more progress, they may pass the United States as we sink into the depths of whatever is going to happen after our currency collapses. But in terms of what is there in Ecuador? There is all sorts of opportunity for people. If I was a younger person, I might go there and try and start something. Knowing that I would have a chance to be influential in the communities, and I could, maybe persuade people that, even though it isn't happening as fast as they would like to, things are getting better, and they have to keep remembering that. There's a lot of I think it'd be impossible to fail as a farmer in Ecuador. They're on the equator. That's why they're called Ecuador. A lot of the people live in this high mountain plateau between two mountain ranges. And when I say high mountain plateau, we're talking 8,000 to 9,000 feet above sea level. So it's way up there. And because it's way up there, the temperatures don't get very hot, even though it's on the equator. It's between 55 and 65 degrees almost every day. And it rains almost every day, but not for long. Maybe as much as an hour would be a really heavy rain for that day, or mostly it's 15 to 20 minutes. And so there's plenty of water. The soil is all washed down out of the mountains. It's volcanic soils. It's full of minerals and nutrients, and plants thrive there. If you couldn't grow stuff here, you just aren't meant to be a farmer. It's that easy. in terms of that, I mean, the food that was there that they grow is just to die for. My wife is a vegan, so out of courtesy to her, we didn't go to any restaurants that mainly served meat, and neither one of us can eat gluten, so we didn't go to places that are like pastry shops and stuff like that. We were eating it at vegetarian and vegan restaurants, and man, that food was so good. I didn't miss my meat at all. It was awesome. I posted a couple pictures to Kobe yesterday.
Beautiful pictures, actually.
The picture I was showed him. Well, I should probably see if I could drop this in chat. So I think it's going to be too big for the chat. I'll probably blow it up. But I'm going to post them on our Facebook page later. The one picture is the meal that we bought for $2.50 each, and it included a juice. The juice was it was juice from vegetables. You know, they put it through a juicer thing, whatever. They had their exotic fruits and vegetables, whatever. They just juice them all. They had a lot of carrots and then fruits that I don't even know what they're called. And so that juice here would cost about $5. They had a soup, and the soup was it wasn't anything to write home about, but it tasted good, and it was full of nutrition. I could tell. I mean, I felt like I really got to looking forward to having soup every day. It was, you know, I was almost like having soup withdrawals if I didn't get it fast enough. And then they'd have a main course, which would have some brown rice and some beans and some cooked vegetables and sometimes some tofu. And it was really, really good. And all that for $2.50 per person. And it was so much that my wife generally couldn't finish hers. It was so much food. She couldn't eat it all. So I would finish mine, and I would not be hungry for the rest of the night. For dinner, I didn't feel like eating dinner. So I would just have an apple or something and a cup of tea or whatever, and we'd just sit around, you know, in the evening, or sometimes we'd go out and maybe go into a place and have some coffee or maybe a cocktail or something. But it was, the food is to die for, and it's so cheap. I would never cook if I was there. I would just eat out every meal because, I mean, you couldn't buy the food we were eating at a grocery store for $2.50. It's just incredible. So that gives me one of the clues as to why so many people want to relocate there. It's very inexpensive to live at a fairly high standard of living. And especially if you're older and you don't like to cook, there's people there they'll do that, and they'll do it for you. So that was really a plus.
One of the pictures that caught my eye the most, actually, was that one that you showed me about it was pretty much like a giant pie chart, but what they were doing was they were rotating crops to not destructively take down the soil. So, and what it showed in there was it showed a bunch of stones that actually segregated soil between soil, and they rotated them in a clockwise manner is what it looked like around us.
The Incas did this. I mean, the Incas were really smart dudes. I mean, they figured out how to weld. They could alloy metals. They knew how to do lost wax casting. They actually did cataract surgery. Some people, they even think that they were able to do some brain surgeries. These guys were incredibly smart. I think that kind of goes along with what Fritz was talking about a couple of weeks ago. Is, you know, maybe they were visited by some people that are a little bit advanced or something. Zori asked a question, they have chemtrails there. No, they did not. We did not. And the sky was so blue. Oh, when you're up that high, it's bluer anyway, but it was just beautiful blue sky when the clouds would part. But anyway, the Incas, they would, when they plant their gardens, this was kind of a smaller version of what they would do. But if you could just think of it like a five-leaf clover, it would just kind of open up into this big expanse, and it would be sectioned into five sections. Because there's no growing season, they grow things 365 days a year, they would just, you know, harvest what they're going to harvest, they would glean the crop, and they would move the crop over to the next section, and because they grow a lot of corn there, and the corn tends to deplete the soil, so they would move it around to each one of these five sections before it came back to the original spot. In the meantime, they'd put other things in there that would fix nitrogen back in the soil, and so it was really an amazing system. And then they had, and this is kind of a speculation on my part, I wasn't able to find out for sure what it was for, but they had this pond, which they were able to take water from the nearby river and just kind of channel it into this pond area. And they had a lot of fish in the pond, which are there now, but I assume they had fish there before as well. And what they would do is they would drive the fish to one end of the pond. This is what I'm thinking they would do. And there was a little gate there, and they could let the fish through into a small holding area where they could just keep them there until they needed to harvest one or two for dinner or whatever. So they could keep them from dying for a few days while they make it easy for them to find and get. And then every so often they'd probably drive some more fish into that area, and they still would never take all the fish out of that pond, which was quite large. It was about the size of the infield of a baseball diamond. It was pretty big. And they also were able to, I think, use that water as it continued to move down through the ditches. I think that they had a way maybe to use that to get rid of their bodily wastes and kind of push it back out into the river through another ditch. So they had things all much pretty well worked out, so they didn't have to do a lot of work to make things work for them, and they had more time left to invent things like lost wax casting and stuff if they really invented it, or to figure out how to do things like that or teach the next generation or whatever. So that all that is really interesting, just fascinating. I would go back to Ecuador to visit for just a drop of a hat. I'll go back. We still didn't get to go to the coast. I want to go to the Galapagos Islands someday. We didn't get to go down into the Amazon. There's just lots of stuff to see there. So anybody that wants to go on a vacation and you're kind of on a budget, man, this is a good place to go. You're not going to spend a lot of money once you get there unless you want to. The hotels we stayed in, the first one we stayed in was a place called the Suites Metropoli, and amazing story there. The guy that owns that, he was a poor kid in a village that didn't have shoes. He just grew up just in poverty. A Christian, mission came to Ecuador when he was a little boy, and they visited his village, and they stayed there for a while. They helped them build a water supply, to purify their water supply, and they talked to the children, and they helped them with their school, get squared away in school and things like that. And this one person had taken an interest in this boy, and he told him how important it was just to have a passion for something and have a goal and to really work really hard to accomplish your goals. And then no one can stop you from getting what you want to do if you really want to accomplish that. So he went off and he went through school and became a dentist, which is no small accomplishment in a society like he was coming from. And he eventually he saw that property was a good investment, and so and this is in a socialist country, so he was able to obtain some property and started improving it and made it into a hotel. And this is an amazing place. It was an awesome place to stay. I really liked it. One of their former famous guests was none other than Angelina Jolie, who isn't my favorite person in the world, but she's a pretty famous person. And they said she was very nice in person. She was really nice, and everybody there really liked her. So maybe she's a better person than I think she is. but he was able to do this in a country that isn't as free as we are. And at that time, it was even less free than we are. And he was able to be successful, and that still inspired me. That I wanted to pass that story on to our audience. That man, if this guy can do this here, I mean, if you're not accomplishing what you're setting out to accomplish, you're just not trying hard enough. This guy just had a pep talk when he was a little boy, and it lasted his whole life. And I got to meet him, and he's just a wonderful man. And his son, we talked to him quite a bit. He was helping work in the desk while someone was on vacation, and he liked our Facebook page, and now he's one of my Facebook friends. It's just a great family. So if you ever go to Ecuador and you're in Quito, you want to stay at the Suites Metropoli, and it's just an awesome place. Every day we'd come down, they'd help us find places to go that we would like to see, and they would always get a taxi out for us, and they would tell us how much we should expect to pay the taxi, so don't pay them more than this, and they don't need a tip, and the whole day they just coached us all the way along so we didn't spend too much of our money. I mean, and a 15-minute taxi ride was like $3. It's amazingly inexpensive. The hotel we were staying
in. So not to pry, sir, but I mean, how much did you actually spend on this entire vacation for you and your wife? And you were there for what, a week?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Well, I gotta tell you that the first place was less than $50 a night. We spent about $2,000 on airfare. We spent about $800 or $900 on hotels in 2 weeks, and about $200 on presents for family and stuff, and about $700 on food. That was it. $700 in 2 weeks, and we ate out every day. And that's probably not true. We didn't spend that much on food, because we were spending it's around $10 a day. We were only there for 14 days, so it was probably closer to half that. We bought a lot of fruit that we didn't eat. We would just leave it in the hotels, I understand, because we just wanted to try it. And we'd say, you get all those apples for a dollar? And we just buy a dollar's worth, and then we couldn't eat them all. You get like 12, 14 apples for a dollar. they didn't want to sell you one. They'd want to sell you the bag. It was only a dollar. So they say, oh, sure, we'll get it. And it's just incredible how inexpensive stuff is. Now, there are some, if you're going there, and you're kind of sensitive to pollution, there are some problems with pollution. That's probably the one thing that said to us that we're not going to move there. Otherwise, I would have had no problem moving there. But it's at that elevation, internal combustion engines don't burn very efficiently. It's not just smoky stuff. It's stinky, smoky stuff. It smells like unburned gas. And it's just in the cities where the old towns are, in the cities which are really the coolest parts of each city, streets are real narrow and the air gets kind of trapped in there. It can be kind of overwhelming at times. My wife went to one of the stores and bought a little mask to wear, but she said she could still smell the fumes, so it wasn't that great.
But they're almost third world, aren't they? They're on diesel, right?
No, they have some diesel buses. They have gasoline. They're tried some natural gas buses, but they're having trouble. They actually have to put an oxygen tank in there with it to give it enough oxygen to burn. But they're figuring that out, and I think they'll probably be able to convert that. I think the electric car, if it ever develops, will probably save those cities. I mean, this is an area that's probably about the size of maybe Ashland to Grants Pass, which for those of you who don't know, it's about 25 miles of freeway there, so about 25 miles long, and there's about 8 million people live along that 25 miles. So they're packed in there. And it's incredible how many people are there, and there's no real problems. I mean, I'm not going to say they have no crime, but they have a lot of police presence, and the police are a lot different than they are here. The police are not out there to raise funds. They're not out there to extort money out of the citizens. They're there to help them and to protect them from somebody that might be have criminal intent. So they're just there looking out for someone that's out to do no good. I saw several policemen blow their whistle and go chase down a motorist and they pull some guy over and they just get out and they just kind of shake their finger at him and kind of chew him out and then leave. They don't write him a ticket or make him pay any money or anything. They just tell him, don't do that anymore. So it's a lot different than here. I thought that was really unique. And plus, the police were very helpful. We would get lost real easily because the streets aren't, the names kind of change, and they don't put them on every intersection, so you're looking to see what street you're on. You're not sure if you're where you think you are. And so we'd go and we'd ask the police if, you know, are we here? And they go, well, of course you are. That's the place on the map. They knew where it was, but we weren't sure. And then we tell them where we want to go. And then, more often than not, they would just take us there. They would say, I'll take you. And then they'd just walk us there. And they said, this, and then they'd tell the people inside that we were from America and treat us nice or something. And the people in Ecuador were so nice to us the whole time. That's another big plus. As a vacation, I say this is one of my best vacations I've ever had. I just loved it there, and I was really feeling sad when it was time to leave. I usually get a little homesick, but I didn't on this one at all.
Did you get out to the rural areas at all? Because what you're pretty much describing is more like the Portland area of Oregon.
Yeah, we went to a big market they have in a small town called Abadabo. Oh, I got it saying it right. Abadabo. That's where we bought a lot of the gifts and things. And it's this huge open-air market where people just, they come from everywhere and bring their stuff and set up, and then people come there and buy stuff and leave. And we rode a bus there. It cost us $1.20 for both of us to ride the bus there. It's about a half-hour bus ride, maybe 45 minutes. And we got some hand-woven alpaca wool blankets and a shawl, kind of like that's kind of a poncho for Asha, and they were very good prices, and I'm sure we paid too much because we are not good hagglers. I felt really guilty because, you know, these people, they don't really have a lot of wealth or anything, and I'm sitting there and they're saying, well, it's $30, and they say, well, what about 20? And they go, well, how about 27? I go, what about 20? And I just started to hit me in the ribs of their elbows, like, come on, it's 25 is still good. And so, well, you know, if they don't want to pay 20, if they don't want to accept 20, they'll say no. And you know, it's a voluntary exchange, and both parties will feel better off. They won't want to reverse the deal once we're done. And she finally got the idea, and she ended up getting a hand knit sweater. Just a really cute sweater, hand knit. I think it was $25. And we actually came back and gave the, after, cause she was kind of wearing it around the market a little bit. She says, this is just too nice for $25. She came back and gave her $5 more.
You guys have definitely not been to Afghanistan, cause I tell you what, I mean, haggling is.
I know, but see that the girl was still excited to sell it for $25, but my wife just said, this is too nice for that price. And so she gave her some more money. So we're not good hagglers.
We're not good
hagglers. It's amazing. We had a great time. It's very scenic. We're running out of time. Real quick, we only saw about 5 strollers the whole time we were there. The women in Ecuador, they carry their babies in blankets tied around their back. And when it was time to feed them, they just swing them around and open up their shirt and put them on their boobies. And that's how they do it. And the kids do that until they can walk, and then until they can walk without holding their mom's hand, which is generally about 2 years old or something. And they're just carried on their back everywhere. And so the kids are always in contact with their parents. And those are the nicest, most well-behaved kids you'll ever see. They were quiet. They didn't interrupt. They didn't cry and whine. I saw a couple kids start to have a little, you know, temper tantrum, but the parents get a hold of them. They just look them in the eyes. They tell them you have to be good, and they just calm down, and that was it. And it's an amazing culture. I think I can give the Catholic Church good credit for that. But also I think that family thing was there before the church got there. It's a great place. I don't think it's the best place on earth, but I could live there easily. I'm still looking for the best place. So if you guys need a place to bug out, you could do a lot worse than Ecuador. I'll put it that way. Do your own research, but you could rent a house there for about $300 a month. Food's cheap. One more time. Thanks for listening, everybody.